everyone. This is Beth.
And this is Jeff.
And this is your Enneagram Coach, the podcast, where we're here to help you to understand yourself with astonishing clarity so that you can break free from self-condemnation, fear, and shame by knowing and experiencing the unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom in Christ.
Well, everyone, welcome back. We're so glad you decided to join us again on this second episode where we're talking about wings, these two numbers that are next to your main type. Now, there are some confusions, Beth, that people have when they're first introduced. One, they may not understand the W between the two numbers. That looks weird enough as it is, but that stands for wings. But for those who may be joining us for the first time, tell us again in review, what are wings?
Yeah, so if this review doesn't clear it up enough, definitely go back to the last episode and hear a more full expression of what wings are. But the wings are the two numbers on either side of your main type. This isn't your top, your second top score in a test. This is just the two numbers next to your main type. And you use characteristics from these two types. You don't become that type. You still have the core motivations of your main type that really is the force or the motivation behind why you think, feel, and behave in particular ways. But these two numbers next to you, you access different qualities from them, and you access different qualities, whether you're healthy all the way to unhealthy, which makes you look very different from time to time as well.
Well, and I think for me personally, so in the last episode, I discussed about my wings of, I'm a six, and the wings of five and seven. So my expression of having a five wing is not that I become a five, but right. I approach some of the behaviors, tendencies, and thought patterns of a five, but still coming from the core motivations of a six.
Right.
Now, some people will say when they go out and they take some assessment on finding their type, hey, I'm a six with a four wing. No. That's not what wings are. Wings are just the numbers next to your number.
Yeah.
And what's really important is that we use both wings.
Yes, we use both wings. Now, it can be different depending on circumstances, what you're doing. You know, sometimes you'll use one wing a lot. Like I use my type one wing quite a bit when I'm working. But the one I actually use the most is my eight wing. And I use that in kind of my everyday life. So we'll see these wings pop up from time to time for different reasons. And again, whether you're doing well or not well. And how I explain it to people is think of it like salt and pepper that is seasoning your main type. You know, just like when you use salt and pepper for a filet mignon, the filet does not become the salt and the pepper, nor do we become our wings. We are accessing them, but we want to access them in a healthy way, which means we're seasoning our type, these attributes of the other numbers, in a good way. But if we over-season, like if we use salt too much or too much pepper, it's not going to help, right? So we want to know, how is our heart doing? Are we aligned or misaligned with the truth of the gospel? When we know and rest in our true identity in Christ, not only will our main type express itself in its fullness and the wonderful attributes that it has and bless others, but we will also access our wings in that same healthy way. But when we get misaligned with the truth of the gospel, our own personality can suffer. We're going to bring up liabilities and weaknesses and things that can hurt us and others, but we also will access our wings in the same manner.
So what we've done is that we've put together descriptions of each of the types and talking about how the wings present themselves for that particular type. In the previous episode, we've covered types 1, 2, and 3. In this episode, we're going to cover types 4 through 9. And we're going to add different shares from people of those types talking about their experience of wings. And with that being said, Beth, why don't we dive in to type 4?
So if you're a type 4 with a 3 wing, you're going to be more emotionally vivid. You'll be able to bounce back when emotions overtake you. And you're going to have self-esteem where you can have confidence and assuredness to move forward. You're going to desire to be authentic and true to yourself, which is the type 4. But then the 3 wing will also want to accomplish and get things done so that the 3 can be validated within you. You'll also see that you have a more refined taste than others. You'll accomplish from a creative standpoint and establish your mark on the world. But when you're struggling, your emotional drama can heighten and you can feel envious and more consumed with what others think. And remember, the four with the three wing, these are two different types that really operate from a different motive. The four wants to be authentic and real and true to themselves, whereas the three is willing to put on a persona for others to see them in a admiring light, that they are like, wow, this is, you know, amazing. So there's this conflict happening with inside the four with a three wing, one to be authentic and one to be pretentious so that they can have a successful image. So they're really kind of battling it out inside. And that can be very tricky for the four with a three wing at times. Now, if you're a four with a five wing, you're going to be more introverted, maybe isolate yourself more. You might be less ambitious than the four with a three wing, but you want intellectual depth. You want originality. You are remarkably creative. You can be unusual, maybe even mysterious, but in all of that, you can produce the most stunning original works. You're less concerned what others think, and you're definitely going to pave your own path. When you're struggling, your emotions and intellectual worlds can take over and become your reality. So you can struggle with accomplishing things because you'll find that you're withdrawing a lot and going within your mind and within your emotions, which can kind of trip you up to get things done. And the four with a five wing can become fiercely independent. Well, let's listen to the type fours.
Hello, my name is Megan Silberhorn, and my main type is four. My dominant wing is five. The liability of the five wing in misalignment in my life is found in information gathering. I often call my problem with envy an inferiority complex. When I am believing that I am not enough, I throw myself into research mode. I gather information because I believe that I do not have the intellectual authority to talk about a certain topic, even though the subject is usually a personal transformation story. I will spend time, creative energy, and money in an effort to prove that I have authority, that I really do measure up. After making all that effort, the project ends up unfinished on a shelf, while I fantasize about the ideal circumstance by which the project will be discovered and fawned over. When I am in alignment with the gospel, I have the confidence to openly share my experiences and research with others. I do not try to prove that I have the authority or intellectual prowess to do so. This confidence allows me to share without shame in an authentic and vulnerable way that is creative and innovative. Not only is the project completed, but it also blesses others. When I'm in alignment, I don't worry about what others think. I am less concerned about the intellectual information. In this place, I stop trying to prove that I am enough.
Dan Gurley. I think of myself in terms of an Enneagram tri-type. I'm a 4-6-1 with four in the lead because of a profound connection I have with the core motivations of a four. With that, I have a three wing, and that does a couple of different things to me. On the one hand, it's a liability because in my fourness, I really have a deep desire for significance and authenticity and uniqueness and respect and admiration amid all of that. So my three wing often causes me to perform for other people. And, you know, if I'm misaligned with the gospel, if I'm not attuned to who I am, my identity and my significance coming from Jesus, then I start playing a game to win other people's respect and admiration and gain that significance that my heart wants. But on the other hand, it's a strength. It's actually a very big help because as a four, and I have all of these emotions and thoughts and things going on in my heart, mind, and spirit, a lot of empathy. that three helps me get it out of myself and take action on it. So the three helps me and motivates me to actually put meat on those bones and get me out of my own head and into the lives of other people, hopefully to bless them and to encourage them. And I in that way, I really like that three wing. Hope this is helpful.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Moms, it's here. Registration is open for Enneagram for Moms cohort. Yes, from May 6th to May 13th, you can grab your spot to be in one of the cohorts with moms of the same Enneagram type, plus with a certified Enneagram coach leading the way. Wouldn't that be the most amazing thing to be with like-minded moms who really understand what it's like to be on your journey as a mom? From your type? Yes, it will feel so validating, reassuring, affirming, encouraging. You don't have to mom alone anymore. Go to yourenneagramcoach.com/cohorts to grab your spot today, because there's only 25 spots available for each cohort. Now, we have a cohort for all nine types in the daytime and one in the evening. But when the spots are filled up, they're gone. So grab your spot today at yourenneagramcoach.com/cohorts. The groups start the week of June 10th and go until the week of July 29th. There are 90-minute sessions, and there's 8 of them. Plus, you'll get a free Facebook group community where you can continue the conversation with one another. Join today.
Again, it's so helpful whenever we hear from different types talk about their particular stories and how they experience the multiple facets of their personality. You know, a couple things to recognize hearing from the fours. First is you'll notice that, with the first story about being four with a five wing, that although that five wing shows up a lot, some people might say, well, you can't be a four because in this situation, you always act this way, and that's more like a five. True, but they're doing it from the core motivations of their main type. And that's the same true for the second chair, that the three wing, that he does it from the perspective of a four. And so that's why we don't type people on the basis of behaviors. We want to look at core motivations. And because that's the reason, that's what's compelling. That's the energy behind them. That's the overflow of the heart, what's happening in their heart. And then secondly, just to highlight again for all of us, is that we use these wings both in healthy and unhealthy ways. Sometimes we've relied on this particular wing to help us kind of battle through life. And sometimes that can carry with it negative behaviors that are harmful to us and to our relationships. And yet, as we mature and learn how to shepherd that part of our hearts, they actually become part of the toolkit that we have to be able to engage with life, so that, as Dan shared later in his story, that it actually becomes a blessing and an encouragement to other people.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump into type five. Well, if you're a type five with a four wing, you're going to find that you're more withdrawn, creative, you have this intellectual depth, but you also need a lot of time to recharge alone. The type five in you can feel the lack of confidence to get out there and do, the feeling that I need more information. I don't have enough information, which all of us that know fives know they definitely have enough information, but they're going to feel that lack of confidence. And the four is going to feel that there's something fundamentally missing inside them. So this can make it difficult for the fives to then connect with people because they're going to want to withdraw more. Now, when you are sociable as a five with a four wing, you desire to know others in a deep way, but also from a cerebral stance. So there's going to be this connection, both emotional and intellectual, with others. You are great at pulling things apart and then conceptualizing new ways to look at it and put it back together. In fact, you have the ability to bring out new works of either art or innovations that others have never thought before. You use your imagination and your emotions more than the other subtype, the five with a six wing, which this subtype, the five with a four wing, can actually mistype themselves as a type four. I know that Russ Hudson, one of the top leading Enneagram experts, this is exactly what he did. He thought he was a four for quite some time until he recognized, no, the core motivations that he really operates out of is really from the type five. Now, the five of the four wing, when you're struggling, you can detach from others into your intellectual world to gain more insights, more observations. But you're also going to be more sensitive when you're relating with others as well. Now, if you're a five of the six wing, you're going to be intellectual, cerebral, and an incredible problem solver. You desire to master a field, to know something at its core, its depth, to go really far into it, which is the five, because you want clarity. You want understanding, which is the six, so that you have the security and the know-how to move forward. Well, this allows you to be incredible researchers and problem solvers, and you can thrive at dissecting problems, analyzing them, and finding a solution through your research and intellectual insights in how to move forward or what people should do. But when you're struggling, intimate and personal relationships can be difficult since you can mainly be in your mind and not so much in your emotions. The sixth wing can also bring out this angst and anxiety, which will cause you to detach from others. I know that the five of the six wings can really start to think of what could happen from an intellectual viewpoint and really dive into facts and data of what could happen in a negative form. So we just really want to be mindful of that, which can really start having the five of the six wing detach. So be really mindful of that part of you if you're struggling in that way. Well, let's listen to our type fives.
Greetings, Jeff, Beth, and to your wonderful audience. I'm Ahmad Wazir. I am an Enneagram type five, social five to be exact. When I first got introduced to the Enneagram, I really identified with being a five with a strong four wing. I know Richard Rohr talks about this, and I'm kind of seeing some truth in this, that as I get older, I'm really identifying more with the six wing. So if I had to take a snapshot right now, I really lean heavily on that six wing, although, you know, this has only been for the last several years. The liabilities that the wings bring to my type when misaligned with the truth of the gospel, I have to be mindful of. So with the four wing, sometimes feeling, I you know, and this hasn't been lately, but just early on in my life, just going to some really dark times, feeling forsaken, feeling so different, feeling so flawed, that I'm not worthy of the love of God. You know, or especially, like I said, early on in my life, I've really, you know, experienced that darkness. As far as the sixth wing, I think being in my head and thinking I gotta figure it all out and not having faith, you know, that there's a higher power. Like, I'm conscious of it, I'm aware, but I can kind of forget and think, you know, I got to take things into my own hands more than I should, if that makes sense, you know. So that six wing can kind of have me questioning, you know, what's the right thing to do, and not trusting that inner guidance or that connection from Most High. How do my wings help me balance and align my type with the gospel? I think the four wing helps me as far as, and it has helped me over the years, as far as having the strength to be different and not follow the masses, to be able to take a stand on what is right. As far as the six wing, vigilance, you know, seeing what's going on around me, asking questions and seeing, you know, is this a road that I want to go down, especially when it comes to connecting with other people? Is this somebody whose values align with mine, or do I need to steer clear of people in different environments that don't reflect the life that I'm trying to live? So I thank you. As always, it's an honor, and y'all continue to be blessed in your ministry and all y'all endeavors. Talk to you soon.
Hello, my name is Judith, and I'm a type five, the investigative thinker. I don't have a dominant wing, but I do lean more towards the type 6 than the type 4. When I am misaligned with the gospel, like a 4, I can be very, very withdrawn, very sad, sometimes, well, often not even necessarily knowing why and what is causing it. Persons around me not really knowing what's going on and just not ready yet to express it. Like a type 6, I can be very anxious, mind racing, very indecisive as I try to figure out the solution to a problem. I love leaning into both of my wings when it comes to being healthy and really allowing God's truth to penetrate my life. So like a type 6, I commit to being in community. Part of me says, don't go. That's my type 5. Don't go to Bible study. Don't go to small group. Community, that's just going to drain you. You've had a long day. But I go anyway. I have to be intentional about it. But I know that as I spend time in relating to others, and as I invest in relationships, that's actually going to cause me to feel God's love even more. I also love leaning into my type 4. I do this a lot through journaling. And when I journal, it sounds like poetry. And that's how I express myself. When I don't have any more words, I go to my parents' house and I play their piano. And I find that while I do that, God meets me there. So 2 years ago, when my mom died from cancer, I would go over the house frequently just to play the piano. Whatever would come to my heart and my mind, I would play. And I found that as I did, my head would connect with my heart and God would come in and bring the comfort I so desperately needed.
Sure, it's great to hear from Type 5s. Those are awesome shares. The thing that I walk away with after hearing the shares is this, both and. First, both and. They shared experiences with having both the 4 wing and the 6 wing. Mm-hmm. And it's not either or. It really is both and. Number two is that something may show up in your life in one season, and then something different may show up in another season.
Right.
I said this in the previous episode, but you know, so many people are reluctant to engage with the Enneagram because they think it's going to put them in a box. Mm-hmm. And it is true. There are categories with the Enneagram. With other personality tools, it's true that, you know, it may be fixed, and how do you become a more healthy extrovert or a more healthy C on the disc? Well, with the Enneagram, it's so much more fluid and dynamic that when you hear this idea of with age and experience, maybe moving from some of the insecurities of the 4 wing, but then later in life starting to grab on to some of the securities that come from 6, but also seeing that some of the liabilities come along with that. And the Enneagram captures all of it and gives vocabulary. It helps us to have better relationships with our own hearts, and it helps us to have better relationships with others. So like for Beth and I, she can say like, hey, it looks like you're 5 showing up, or mm-hmm. it looks like you're 7 showing up.
Right. Yeah. And I just love, you know, how they really paint such a beautiful picture of how both wings show up in aligned ways and healthy ways, and what both those types bring to the table. It's just really, it's so inspiring, really, to be honest, just to hear from each of the types. Well, let's dive into your type, Jeff, type 6. So 6 with a 5 wing, you guys tend to be more of a defender, like a defender of the underdog. You might gravitate towards systems of beliefs to look for that security, that guidance that you can hold on to. This subtype, you might be more self-controlled, feel like you have to be responsible and serious about your ethical and political viewpoints. It can be mistyped as a type 1. And the 6 or the 5 wing can be very outspoken and intense and actually look like an 8 at sometimes. And you can be very organized and engaging. And also people will see you as very competent and knowledgeable. Now, underneath, you might feel indecisive or having trouble to make the decisions. But outwardly, people are going to see you as the person that makes the decision and goes forward. You can also be more independent than the 6 with the 7 wing. You want to find one mentor or just a couple of friends that can give you guidance and assurance. When you're struggling, you can be more suspicious, cerebral, and looking out for potential adversaries. Now, if you're a 6 with a 7 wing, you're much more extroverted, supportive, witty, friendly, and likable. You might find that you pay attention to the reactions of others, and you want to know where they stand with you. Like, are they with me? Or are they against me? Are they for this or are they not? You try to find enjoyment in life, even with the anxiety in the background. You're going to seek out lots of friends and mentors who will provide you that security, support, and guidance that you're looking for. So it's not like, oh, I talked to just one person. No, I'm going to talk to a bunch of people. I'm going to have this community around me, and we're going to like have fun and be witty about it. But I really want to hear from all the people so I can have more assurance and more guidance. But when the 6 with the 7 wing, when you're struggling, you can be overly anxious, hardworking, and even procrastinate or get scattered out of fear. And you can be more reactive than the 6 with a 5 wing when experiencing anxiety and pressure to make decisions quickly. The 7 is like, let's go, let's not stop, let's, you know, get at it. Whereas the 5 wing is like, nope, we got to think about this. We need to gather more information. Well, let's hear from our 6s and see what they have to say about having a 5 and a 7 wing.
Hello, my name is Kyle, and I am a type 6. I have a dominant wing that is the wing 7. I feel like my wing 7 has some liabilities with my type, and that it kind of suppresses or just moves past any emotion. I have a difficult time identifying or feeling emotions, and I think that that's part of my wing that just doesn't want to deal with them, especially the more difficult emotions. But I do feel like the 7 wing helps me align myself more with the gospel and with the Holy Spirit, because it helps me to find joy in situations, and I'm able to have more peace and have fun in a lot of situations, because of my wing. And I just feel like it kind of helps subdue or quiet that inner committee, because it's the wing is helping me to find that joy and not listen so much to the inner committee and get so spun up in my mind and have all the self-doubt and the worst case scenario thinking.
My name is Robert, and I am a type 6. I don't know that I have a dominant wing. I operate out of both the 5 and the 7 pretty regularly. But I would say that when I'm misaligned with the gospel, I operate in both. In the 5, I can tend to believe that it's going to be the next blog post that I read, or the next book that I read, or the next conversation I have, that'll finally give me the answer I've been looking for to be able to take action on this big decision I've been procrastinating on. So as a 6, I have a hard time committing as it is. So when I'm misaligned, that 5 wing really kicks in and goes, oh, I know what we should do. Let's go research and think about this for 6 months and do nothing. And so that's definitely a place where it shows up. And then the wing 7 also shows up in that it helps me find distraction. So rather than diving into research, it's, hey, let's go be entertained on social media, or let's go read a fun book that doesn't have anything to do with it, or let's find a new activity somewhere else. So I use both, usually when I'm avoiding making a decision as a 6, especially when I'm misaligned. Now, how they help me balance out is, as a 6, I can be very critical and very distrustful. So the wing 7 helps me to move towards people and be more outgoing and energetic and engaging when I can have a tendency to be inside my own head too much. The type 5 also helps me to be more trusting of my core group of people. So to know that, hey, you've done the research, you know that these people are trustworthy, so you can count on them. Whereas as a 6, oftentimes I will end up being distrustful even of the people I know the absolute best in my life. So those wings both help me balance out and remind me, of the goodness and the glory of what I can be in Christ and in the gospel as a type 6.
So when I listened to these two type 6s, one theme that really jumped out to me is that the use of our wings has a function, that it, in some sense, they're part of our team, trying to make life work or deal with an anxiety in our hearts. And so whether it's a six with a five wing who's going to become much more cerebral, detached, research oriented, and trying to figure it out, or the seven looking to maybe deny or reframe something as a six to kind of outflank the inner committee, these parts of us, we use them for a reason. And those reasons, as Paul describes it, can be used for noble or ignoble reasons. And so they can actually lead us towards Christ or lead us away from Christ. What we are inviting you to is in be curious about when your wings show up, because even if it may be an unhealthy pattern, that may be the very place where God intends for the gospel to reach parts of your heart by his Spirit for your growth, for you to become more like Christ and more present in your relationships with others so that you can love well.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Well, let's move into type seven. Well, our sevens with the six wing are going to look very different than the sevens with an eight wing. My dad is a seven with a six wing, so I'm very familiar with this subtype. Now, sevens with six wings, you guys are more outgoing and desire to enjoy life experience with others. You can be creative, silly, playful, and optimistic. You're highly loyal and committed to those that are your friends and your connections. You're incredible networkers too. You care about what others think, and you're more generous and tender than the seven with an eight wing will be. But when you're struggling, that six wing anxieties can cause you to lose focus and become more scattered. You might see that you're more fidgety or revved up and impulsive. You desire to have relationships and possessions that will actually distract you from those internal anxieties that you're feeling. Now, if you're a seven with an eight wing, you're going to be much more aggressive, assertive, and demand that your environment around you come through for you, come through for your desires and what you're wanting in life. You will be assertive, ambitious, and care less about what others think, just like the seven with a six wing will care a little bit more about what others think. The seven with an eight wing, you guys are confident, optimistic, and have an innovative spirit to overcome any obstacle or failure. In fact, I know a lot of sevens with eight wings are like, failure? There's no failure. It's just a new opportunity to try something new. Your mind is super quick and will strategically think through and know what to do at any given moment. But when you're struggling, you can tend to be more of a workaholic and an adrenaline seeker. You can also be very direct and demanding that those around you stand with you and help you to get what you want. You'll also find conflict stimulating and are strong-willed and fiercely independent. Well, let's hear from our type sevens.
Hi, my name is Lisa Winbold, and I am a type seven. I have a dominant wing of an eight, which means that when I'm misaligned with the gospel, there are definite liabilities. First and foremost, I become very direct and demanding and strategic in getting what I want rather than waiting and praying for what Christ wants in my life. This becomes evident with my husband when I want to go on adventures or have fun and enjoy life and he disagrees. I will push forward for what I believe is best for me rather than waiting and trusting that Christ will work it out. Also, the wing six comes into play in that I become less focused on my responsibilities. I become scattered and often fill myself up with relationships and with possessions such as online shopping rather than waiting and trusting that God will fill me up. However, when I am aligned with the gospel, the eight wing is so powerful in allowing me to be confident in Christ alone, that he will bring about all things, that I don't need to look at anything that happens in life as a failure, but that I know that he is in control and is working his plan out for good and for his glory. I also have an optimism that comes when I'm aligned with him, knowing those things and that I don't need to worry about tomorrow because today has enough worries of its own. I can trust that God is in control. His purposes will come about and my intense energy becomes focused on serving and loving others. And it also brings me a perseverance when I'm aligned with the gospel to continue on in the days when they are long and hard and when maybe things aren't coming about as I had desired, knowing that Jesus is in control. The wing six, when I'm aligned with the gospel, allows me to be committed to others, allows me to be committed to the work that I'm doing and to be loyal to people, trusting again that Jesus is in control of all the things. And so I don't need to have any kind of strategy or opinion if things are not going my way.
Hi, I'm Melissa Corkum, and I'm a type 7 with a pretty strong 8 wing. When I'm not aligned with the gospel, I tend to get attached to things going my way, which is obviously either what I deem the most fun or the path that my thinking brain has logicked out to the path of least resistance. When someone stands in my way, my 8 wing can get pretty aggressive if I'm not aligned and can come out swinging pretty quickly. This happened recently when the public school gave me a hard time about accepting my daughter's homeschool credits. I was more mama bear than diplomatic. However, when I'm in a healthier, more aligned space, I can slow down and use my 8 wing to not just notice injustices, but stick around and help find a win-win solution. I hope that helps. Thanks for the opportunity to share.
Well, we hope that you're learning a lot from these shares from different types. I mean, it is so insightful. I think, hearing these people talk about the various parts of their interior world is very inspiring. I mean, that is part of our mission here at YEC, is for people to see themselves with astonishing clarity. And there's two things to note in those two shares from the Type 7s. Number one, the first one, she saw how her eightness was showing up in her marriage. Just think of the value of being able to have clarity with one another, to understand one another, that when something gets activated in you, that this part of you shows up and that you have vocabulary to name it. But then as we learned in the second part, so she's dealing with the public school system and homeschooling, and she can see both, hey, I can act on this in an unhealthy way, and I can use this in a healthy way. But the fact that she has vocabulary and a vision for how that part can function for her is such a gift. And not only do we have the language of the Enneagram, but we have the beauty and the wisdom that comes from being in relationship with Christ by His Holy Spirit, so that whenever these thoughts come up to us, we can take them captive and bring them into submission under Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's dive into type 8. Well, type 8s that have a 7 wing, you're going to express yourself with a lot of confidence, assertiveness, and you're going to be much more direct, intense, and demanding than the 8 with a 9 wing. You're going to treat everyone the same, whether at work or at home, and insist that others be direct, quick, and assertive as well. You have a lot of energy. You're excitable, things look fun and entertaining, and you want to just go. You want to get things done quickly and with intensity. You have an amazing ability to persevere, and you have a lot of confidence and tenacity. But when you're struggling, you can focus more on gaining power and control. And by being impatient, demanding, and impulsive, you can at times lack compassion to understand how others are feeling with your demands and your wanting to be so impulsive to get things done. Now, if you're an 8 with a 9 wing, you're going to desire comfort and peace and extend more compassion, tenderness, and be softer with others. You hold your power and strength within yourself until it is absolutely needed, and then you're going to kind of put your foot down and say what needs to be said. You are steady and more patient than the 8 with a 7 wing. You can lead others by being calmly supportive and protective, and you will make sure things get done, but in a much softer, smoother way. But when you're struggling, your aggressiveness, control, and demands will come out at work. But maybe at home, you will actually still be more passive and accommodating with those around you. You can actually be intimidating to others because others aren't really sure when that timber will erupt. Well, let's take a listen to our Type 8s.
Hello, your Enneagram Coach podcast. My name is Keanu Trujillo. I am an Enneagram coach for professionals. I'm a dominant type 8 with a very, very dominant type 7 wing. And some things that I've learned about that and what that means is that I'm a great starter, not the best closer. I'm a great leader, not the best manager. So I had to really gain self-knowledge and self-awareness to understand that about myself. But there was a time when I didn't understand that, and I thought it was really just a weakness. And of course, every strength left unchecked can become a liability or a weakness. But I was down on myself because I thought, you know, what's wrong with me? I come out of the gate very strong, and then I just don't have the energy to close, or I'm not as excited about it, right? Of course, I don't leave things unfinished, but it just drained me. And when I realized that, hey, that's part of my wiring, then I learned how to leverage it. I learned how to leverage it within my marriage to keep things fresh and exciting and energizing. I've been married 2 years to a wonderful type nine, if you can imagine how that dynamic works. And also in my business. So in my business, I've learned how to come out very strong with my clients and coaching them, and then leaving the opportunity to continue coaching. So what I do is I do an introduction package, 6 sessions. We get to know one another. We bring impact and transformation into their lives and into their business. And then after that, we can have a conversation about moving forward instead of overcommitting to things long term and not necessarily having the energy or as much excitement and zeal to see it through. So that also with my relationship with Christ, right? I very excited and very on fire when I accepted Christ about 4 years ago. And now as well, keeping my discipleship and my ministry fresh and energizing and exciting, and knowing that that's my responsibility. So some of the liabilities of the type seven is thinking that other people or outside resources, outside sources have to bring us energy, instead of realizing, hey, I'm responsible for bringing that energy and that satisfaction and that contentment, not the other things in my life. So those are some of the strengths and the liabilities of that type seven wing. And when I'm coaching professionals as well, I let them know, hey, when you have a seven or an eight with a seven wing or a seven with an eight wing, they're not going to be great in management positions, right? To manage is to maintain. And that's not necessarily a natural strength for them. So helping them to leverage those personalities to be starters, right? To launch campuses if they're in a church, or to launch other stores if they're in the corporate space like that, and giving them the opportunity to really excel in starting, and then bringing in another type that's a better maintainer, because not all people are going to be super energized by starting. That might drain some other types. That will drain some other types too. Wow, I have to build this from the ground up. Oh, that's not great, right? Like a type five wouldn't be as energized by that. But I realize that that is a strength within me and other type eight with seven wings and seven with eight wings. And how do we leverage that for the betterment of the kingdom and for our businesses? So that's a bit about the type eight with the dominant seven wing.
Hi, my name's Louise, and I am an eight. And I like to say that I'm an eight with a fierce right hook into seven. And having a strong wing in seven is a lot of fun. It also means that when I'm in stress or misaligned with the truth of the gospel, it's pretty easy for me to find a means of aversion. And what I mean by that is, rather than being present with my quote unquote bad feelings, I can find ways to avoid those by numbing out or squashing them down so they don't really exist anymore. And by don't exist, I mean they're always pretty much there. So it's not really effective. But having a wing in seven is really helpful, particularly when I'm at work and I have the less life-giving tasks to do, because usually I do all the fun things first. But I can usually find a way of bringing humor to the task. And so I get to be creative as well as crack myself up in the process. And when I'm wearing my counselor hat, because I'm also a licensed therapist, I rely heavily on my nine wing for empathy and being attuned and engaged with the stories of others. So in short, eights are great, but being an eight with a strong wing in seven is just the best.
Hi, my name is Joni, and I am a challenger, type eight on the Enneagram. I do have a dominant wing. It's the seven. When they say more is more, I definitely think more is more, especially when it comes to my shoes, clothes, and accessories. Being misaligned with the gospel, though, my wings sometimes gets me in trouble. When I lean too far to my nine side, I become very complacent about the things around me, the people around me, and just to falling asleep to the things that matter. And I definitely need a jolt in the right direction. And it usually happens when I become bored, or when I'm not being challenged enough, or if something is just not interesting to me. Also, when I'm misaligned, the seven wing can definitely creep in because it will cause me to escape. And where do I escape? I escape to shopping. And I will literally shop until I drop and spend lots and tons of money on things to keep myself preoccupied, to keep myself from thinking about what needs to be done, to keep myself from thinking about the lists that I need to check, to keep myself from even just, you know, being in my relationships. And when I don't feel like I have the time, the energy, or just the emotional gumption to stay in the game, I escape. When it comes to actually being in alignment and within the gospel, my wings play a major role in helping me to move towards the full person I truly need to be. As a nine, it brings gentleness. Strength under control is a good definition I've heard recently. And I can still be myself. I can still come to the table and be direct, but I soften the approach. I look for the good in others and not in a different direction where I'm thinking that they, you know, they're not trying to bring themselves to the table or try to betray me or try to do something manipulative. That nine definitely helps me to be gentle and be kind and be peaceful in my approach. In alignment with my seven, it actually helps me to relax. I'm can be very uptight when it comes to being an eight. I want to get things done. I don't want to play any games. I don't have time for chit chat, small talk. And as a seven, it brings out the social side in me, and it brings out my ability to connect with people in my relationships. It brings out the vulnerability piece that is lost within an eight, within my innocence. So I love that my seven can just bring the overall fun side that I truly have to the table. And that's why I love having a seven and a nine wing.
That's super fun hearing from them.
I know, isn't it? That's why I said at the very beginning of the last podcast, when you're listening to all the types, you got to listen to their energy, the way they talk, the words they use. I mean, it just cracks me up because we're so different in our personality styles, our wiring, our thought processes, the words we use. Just it's all, to me, hilarious and intriguing.
Well, if there's one thing that I walk away with, and I think this is for all of us, because sometimes whenever we face our Enneagram type and our wings, we kind of feel like a punch in the gut, like, ugh, someone really named what I right. knew to be true about myself. Well, if you want to take it from eight with a seven wing, they love it.
Yeah. Well, actually, Angie, who is editing uh-huh. this podcast right now, and she'll be laughing, I coached her before she even started working with us in the podcast. And she was struggling between, am I an eight or am I a seven? Because she really identifies with a seven. So they live in Orlando and she loves Disney. So she goes there as much as she can. It's a little hard right now with the COVID stuff, but she will be so excited when there's a new ride, to the point where they like get up early and they have a whole thing about what this is going to be like. So her seven part in her is so excited, like 6 months out, and then 5, 4, 3, 2 months, and then it's time to go. They get on the ride, her and her husband, Robert, they get on the ride, and she's like halfway through. And she's then like, okay, what do you want to do next? Let's go on this ride or that ride. Like, so even in the ride, she's thinking the next fun thing. And that's where she was really struggling. Like, am I an eight or am I a seven? And it just cracks me up when I hear these different stories of the types, because even though we have that main type, that wing can really influence us at different times.
And I think this is an invitation for all of us, that we have the opportunity, understanding all the liabilities that come along with being who we are, to bless these different parts of our lives. That Oftentimes we can interpret things in terms of guilt or shame because of the unhealthiness, rather than recognizing these are the very places in which we have the opportunity to bless what God has made, what God has designed. So if God has set his adopting love on us before the creation of the world, he's chosen the seasons and the places in which we live, he's knit us together in our mother's womb, he's bestowed upon us by his Spirit unique gifts for the edification of his body, well, guess what? Paul summarizes it. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good work. Paul says it again in Philippians 1, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion. You know, I wonder if you could take a moment and just simply bless your wings, no matter how they're showing up in your life, mm-hmm. to bless them, because they are the very thing to remind you of how good God is, how good he is with your sin and unhealthiness, and how good he is in giving you strengths and gifts.
Yeah, and kind of balancing us out. I know, like, we just heard from 3 8s that resonate more with the 7 wing. I find that a lot with 8s. And I also find what we'll talk about here in a second is 9s. A lot of 9s resonate with 1. It's almost like they don't even want to look over there at the 8 wing. Because I don't know what to do with that kind of opposing or the side that seems so different than who they are. But at the same time, it can be such an asset and gift. Our COO for your Enneagram coach is a beautiful type 8 with a 9 wing. She matches up with me perfectly, being me, a 9 with an 8 wing. We have a lot of similarities. At the same time, at the core, we're different. But she can really strengthen me and embolden me when I'm feeling like I want to withdraw and run away. She can really give me that desire to move forward, to take action. But she does it at such a peaceful place. And that can really be an asset to me, who really needs that quality from her. All right. Well, let's talk about type 9s. Last but not least, my type. Like I just said, 9s, usually you'll hear them say, oh, I'm definitely a 1 wing. And that might be true. Maybe there are more 9s with 1 wings out there. But for you 9s out there, I challenge you to really see where your 8 shows up or invite it into the process. Well, first, let's talk about the 9s with a 1 wing. 9s with 1 wings, you guys can suppress your emotions to maintain peace and to have more self-control. You're more idealistic. You're more in your head or cerebral, intellectual, and you're more spiritual or philosophical as well. You can be very principled and do what is right for everyone because you care about justice, fairness, and treating each person with kindness and respect. You can be very imaginative, creative, friendly, gentle, and encouraging, and you're more orderly, perfectionistic, and doing what is right. Well, when you're struggling, you can become more quiet, withdrawn, judgmental, and critical of others, and it might be in a more passive-aggressive way than just very overtly. Now, if you're a 9 with an 8 wing, this is the one I use more in my everyday life. I use the 1 more in my work, wanting everything to be just right and details. I's are dotted, T's are crossed. But just in my everyday life, the 9 with the 8 wing is definitely who I am. 9s with 8 wings, you are sociable, engaging, encouraging, and expressive more than the 9 with a 1 wing. You seek out and enjoy the comforts of life. You want to be more independent, autonomous. The 8 wing gives you the strength to operate out of your gut instincts, passions, and feelings. But you also have this gentler side that is powerful, that you can assert yourself on the behalf of others. Even though you're generally more easygoing because of that 9 in you, you can have this powerful temper that erupts like a volcano. Well, people don't really know what to do with that when it happens. And it's very rare, like a volcano when it erupts. But when it does, it is like, what just happened? And this can really push others aside. They can feel shocked by it, but it really rises up usually when you're pushed too far in directions that you don't want to go. Maybe you have really felt overlooked or disrespected, or you're seeing others being treated that way. 9s with 8 wings can be more stubborn, even though 9s themselves actually are probably the most stubborn on the Enneagram. With an 8 wing, definitely can be stubborn and defensive when you're struggling. And that temper can rise up, and it's not going to be like all the other types' anger. So it's my family always laughs at me, like, Ma, it's really not as big as you think it is. It feels huge to me. But that temper can rise up, and then once we've expressed ourselves or erupted, then we can go back to peace pretty quickly. But nines with eight wings, you have to recognize when that happens, and you have to apologize and make amends. You might feel better because that pressure is now gone that was inside, but you need to reconcile and restore relationships. All right, well, let's listen to our type nines.
My name is Nicole, and I'm an Enneagram 9 with an incredibly strong eight wing. When I am misaligned, I have the tendency to believe that I am a burden to others around me. I sometimes feel like I'm too much to handle, and I tend to get aggravated at really small things. I also tend to appear a little bossy. At my unhealthiest, I would say that I exhibit some really heavy, unhealthy 8 traits and 9 traits. And sometimes that looks like passive aggressiveness, but sometimes it's not even passive. It's just straight up aggressive. However, when aligned with the gospel, I know that my presence matters to the people around me, and my eight wing really has the opportunity to bloom. I'm able to speak up for myself and others in really powerful ways. And at work, I feel confident and at ease. And this eight wing is a real gift because it has helped me not be so timid about speaking up for things I know I need. Leaning into the eight has helped me establish and stick to some really healthy boundaries that I know I've needed in my life.
Hi, Beth and Jeff. My name is Kristen Erickson, and I'm a type 9. My dominant wing is 1. When I'm misaligned with the truth of the gospel, when I'm not presently and consciously abiding in Jesus throughout the day and resting in the knowledge of my true identity, my inner critic picks up a megaphone. This especially happens when I'm seeking to avoid doing something difficult but necessary. It reminds me of all the things I should be doing and how I could better do the things I do. At the same time, it also reminds me that what I will do won't be perfect anyway. This can create a sense of paralysis and keep me from getting traction and moving forward. The liability of my one wing also draws my attention to noticing more the imperfections of the world around me and in others. As an anger type, I can feel my internal frustrations in my body increase in a visceral way. By focusing my attention on the imperfections outside of me, this also serves to allow my nineness to remain asleep or numb to the action I'm trying to avoid. Now, when I catch myself on autopilot or asleep as nines do, it's helpful when I remember that getting unstuck and part of growing as a nine is found in just doing the next thing and doing it to the best of my ability. The requirement of perfection is not from God. His grace is sufficient for me just in the effort I'm willing to put forth. So the ongoing prayer is that I would be emptied of myself and full of the Spirit who empowers me to do that which feels uncomfortable or impossible on any given day. Having said that, once I'm in motion again, the high side of my one wing helps me organize systems around how I can accomplish the task at hand. When I'm able to create a sense of order, this helps clear out the fog in my head and bring clarity to my priorities and subsequent action steps. My one wing also means I'll take great care in how and what I produce and deliver. It'll be my best work, I won't be cutting corners, and it will reflect the integrity of the heart behind the effort. This is where I can see how when I'm in better alignment with the gospel, there's order, peace, and purpose as I'm intentionally moving in the direction of my calling.
So when I first started to hear those shares, I think on both parts, a particular verse came to mind, and I think this is one of the benefits of the Enneagram that we hear a lot. It's the word compassion. It's also empathy. It's being able to understand that when we observe people, we interpret something about what's happening, but we really don't understand what's happening inside of them. And as I think about this, not only for myself, but as to how we coach people in regards to their Enneagram types, and it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And at the beginning of the letter, Paul says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And I just think, number one, we need to be compassionate to ourselves. Because when we come to rest with all the internal strife and dynamics in our interior world, with all of our wings and all of our paths that we go down, when we are able to extend compassion, we then are also able to extend compassion to others. So that when someone is being aggressive with us, so when someone it's clearly being self-critical and is just kind of stuck with trying to figure out how to make the next right decision, we can extend compassion to them. But if we're so caught up in having contempt or criticizing ourselves for these dynamics in us, we never fully recognize the compassion that is available to us in Christ, and we'll never be able to extend to others what we have not received ourselves. So thank you, Nines, for sharing. Those are fantastic shares, and I think it's a great place to for us to close out this series on the wings, that these wings are a vital part of who you are, and they are helpful in all of your relationships and your relationship with yourself. And we hope and pray that as you're able to observe and to name these parts of who you are, that it becomes the very opportunity for you to see the gospel anew in a whole new way.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but just to use it as kind of like the dashboard of a car, warning signals when you're getting off track, when you're misaligned with the truth of the gospel, understanding, there I go, and bringing levity to it. Like sometimes kind of laugh at it, not like dismissing it, but then asking for forgiveness from God, apologizing where needed with others, but then asking the Holy Spirit to work in and through you anew, to use those same wings, the same dynamics in you in a much healthier way. That is really what this is all about, real transformation from a gospel level.
Well, a funny little story of when my sickness shows up. Beth and I have created the vocabulary of when my sickness shows up.
It's because when you say it, sometimes I'm like, okay, is he saying sickness or sickness?
I'm saying both. I'm saying both.
But it is true. Like we laugh.
We laugh about it. Yeah, and that is huge.
Not laughing at.
That's right. Not at.
Laughing with and just, you know, like for instance, I'll say, you know, talk about my nine with my eight wing being more like the Hulk, you know, when it gets erupted, and my family gently laughs at me like, "Mom, it's not really the Hulk. I mean, it doesn't really come out that strong. I know you think it does," but that also gives me kind of a window to how they see it and how they experience it. Because when I do get frustrated or upset, it feels really big to me, but to have their viewpoint, it's like, okay, this isn't as big. I need to address it. I need to work with it, but it doesn't have to derail me, because then my one wing will come in and put myself down for getting upset, you know, and it's a whole thing. And so, yeah, having compassion for yourself, having some laughter, because we know that we are His beloved. He has taken care of us through His perfect life, death, and resurrection, which gives us the freedom to look at ourselves honestly and to own what we do honestly and to come towards others in a whole new and fresh way.
Well, thanks so much for joining us for these two episodes on wings. We really do hope this has been a helpful exercise for you to understand new parts of you and opportunities for you to grow in your relationship with Christ. Well, we hope that you'll also follow us on social media. You can find us, Your Enneagram Coach, on Facebook and Instagram. But then don't forget about getting our free download. You can find the link in the show notes.
Yeah, and if you are interested more about your type, not just the wings, go to the basic episodes at the very beginning, bonus episodes that we did at the beginning of our podcast series, like when we launched everything. So go back there and listen to your type in a much deeper and full form.
And the one last thing that we want to mention, that if you are interested and understand all of the different parts of each main type's personality, Enneagram types, we also offer our Exploring You course, where Beth's going to walk you through 5 different modules on understanding all the dynamics of your personality type. And in light of the pandemic and all the things that we've been going through this year, we've actually discounted that price to $49.
Yep.
And so you can go to the show notes, get the link, and then go to get a course for yourself so that you can start growing.
Or just go to yourenneagramcoach.com and look at the online courses. Exploring You is right there.
We hope you'll join us next week on the podcast, where we're going to be talking about superpowers and blind spots for each Enneagram type. Thanks so much for joining us.
See you guys.